We're back. This is 180. I'm your host, Carl Claussen. What we believe and why. We've been hitting it week after week with a great friend, a dear man, Dr. George Koch, pastor of Resurrection Church in West Chicago. Loves the Lord deeply, loves people deeply, comes right from the Spirit of God. And he's done a great work. We're talking heresies. Last week we tackled Mormonism. Today we're going to take on Jehovah's Witness, and we're going to do it in a way that honors the Lord, speaking the truth in love. George, good to have you back.
Carl, thank you for having me here.
Jehovah's Witness, boy oh boy, not a group of more committed people right. to their cause mm-hmm. can you find?
Nope.
I mean, they're all in.
They are, and they'll show up at your front door if they haven't already been there.
And they'll show up numerous times, and that's part of what makes, as we hit last week with Mormonism, and today we hit Jehovah's Witness, part of what makes them a heresy or a heterodoxy or both is that they fall now into the bucket of other world religions where it's a man-centered faith, not a Christocentric faith.
It's definitely not Christocentric, that's true.
Explain.
Well, Jehovah's Witnesses use the same Bible that we do, but they have their own translation
of it. What's it called?
It's called the New World Translation. In fact, I have a biker who we were ministering to, and he had a Bible, gripping it in his hand and really wanted to know what the truth was, and I looked at it. It was a New World Translation. He had no idea that there was anything amiss about the Bible that he held in his hand. But the Jehovah's Witnesses have been quite overt in the way they have handled the translation from Hebrew and Greek into English in this New World Translation. And I'll give you one really prime example of that. In most Christian Bibles, the beginning of the book of John, the
yes.
Gospel of John, it starts this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? It goes on to describe this as Jesus, and that Jesus came here to bring light into darkness and to
yes.
save all who would be saved. The Jehovah's Witness New World Translation begins this way. In beginning, the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. And that last God is lowercase.
And there's an added, it's not a Greek article that's added in there, or is it?
No. Actually, Greek doesn't have the indefinite article, what would be a in English. You can either say the something, or you just say the name of the something.
Oh, so you mean to tell me that they've taken liberty with something that isn't even there? They've added something
yes,
that isn't
yeah,
there.
Yeah, to be fair, Greek doesn't have an indefinite article, but there would be times when you're translating from Greek to English that it would be appropriate in English to insert the article.
Okay.
I'm saying it was done here inappropriately, and the God was lowercased because they were trying to make a point. And their point was they believe Jesus is a God, lowercase, but one of many. Certainly not the Son of God, certainly not divine, but just another God in a pantheon of gods.
What role does Jesus play in Jehovah's Witness salvation?
Very little. He's a prophet, not the savior of the world.
How do they deal with the bold statements of Jesus that they haven't been able to extricate from the New World Translation? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me.
Well, all I can say is they ignore them because it's not consistent with what they believe and teach. And their overall teachings are fundamentally that we should be followers of the one God who they call Jehovah. Interestingly, by the way, just as an aside, there is no J sound in Hebrew at all.
Coming from a great Jewish boy.
That's right. And we, in fact, don't even know how that name was actually pronounced in Hebrew. But Jehovah's Witnesses basically are believers that there is only one God, and it is Jehovah, and there is no separate Holy Spirit. There is no separate Jesus Christ Son. It's not a Trinity. It's a unity.
Okay.
So they are Unitarians in that sense. And so their focus is on Jehovah, and their focus is on a future earth where the lion and the lamb will lie down together. And they believe that at the end of the world, just 144,000 will be gathered into heaven.
And how do they account for Jehovah's Witnesses themselves going door to door, attempting to proselytize people that would exceed 144,000?
Well, there are 7 to 8 million Jehovah's Witnesses, so that's a mystery to me. It seems like they're creating more competition for themselves. If you want to be in the 144, why tell anybody else?
Well, part of the reason is that the way you become part of the 144 is by going door to door.
You got that right. And in fact, you know, to be fair to them, they actually are living out Matthew 28, and we aren't so much.
The problem is the message that they're carrying.
Oh, yeah, not the right message. But I wish Christians, as a rule, had their enthusiasm for sharing the good news with their neighbors.
Why? It's an amazing thing. The grace of God doesn't foist rules on us. You got to do this to get this.
No.
But the law of liberty is often a law that is neglected. That's just a little side note here. I just want to discuss with you. That's a tragic abuse of grace, isn't it?
It is a
that
tragic
we do,
abuse
and I
of
admit
grace.
Today, I abuse grace.
Right. And what our response
to... You don't have to affirm it that heavily, George.
You do, Carl, very badly, and we all know that.
George Koch is my guest. We're going through What We Believe and Why. You can get a copy at whatwebelieveandwhy.com. But it's true that we have a lot of the world religions and cults and heterodoxies and heresies, like we've hit the last couple of weeks today, Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism. They're a fear-based model.
They are, and bathed and structured legalistically in a lot of rules, which if you obey, you win the reward of heaven or your own planet, in the case of Mormons. The grace of God is something that we should respond to with thanksgiving, by living out the commandments, not because we're doing it in order to earn our way into God's grace.
There was a good friend of my dad's up in Alaska years ago, and he was in school education. She was a committed Jesus follower. Her name was Effie Latham. And he came home one day and he said, you know, and my dad's pretty note up theologically. He said, you know, Effie shared something today with me, honey. He was talking with my mom. I was just a little guy. And he said, she said, Joe, you notice that Jesus said, let your light shine. Everybody else out there in world religions is trying to make it shine. God just said, let it shine.
Oh,
that's good theology.
Yeah, it is good theology.
And when we look at Jehovah's Witnesses, we should have real compassion on those that are knocking on our door,
because they're
running for their life, aren't they, George?
Right. They're trying to earn their way into heaven, where they could have that as a free gift.
Yeah. How do we address Jehovah's Witnesses? People are freaked out by them. They seem to have scriptures down pat. They can pin you in a corner, and then you wonder, what in the world am I going to do?
Well, probably the least successful strategy with the Jehovah's Witness at your door is theological argument.
Why?
Well, because they're very, very, very well schooled and trained to do just exactly that when they're at your door. And if instead we began testifying, giving our own testimony about the grace of God and our own salvation, that could be heard in the midst of a lot of legalism.
Oh, my goodness. That's a fact. I mean, this is good stuff, George.
Carl, it's always a joy.
180, your life, a new direction.